Welcome. I'm Father Phil Mihalik, senior Catholic priest here at Fort Sam Houston in Greater San Antonio, Texas. I'm glad you're able to join with us as we continue our series called Faith in the Crosshairs. In thinking about a topic for this week's program, I could only think of one thing, and I sort of titled it, It's That Time of Year Again. You know, being deployed is difficult. There's no question about it. We are separated from wives or husbands, children, family, friends, and the normal routine of life as we know it has changed. But deployments get especially difficult around those special times of years. And there are anniversaries that we might miss, birthdays that we might miss, certain family reunions. Especially for me, though, Thanksgiving and Christmas, these are the most difficult times of year. We are all thinking about those people we won't be with and the celebrations that we're going to miss. And you know, we can reach a point where we actually start to feel sorry for ourselves. And we can, if we're not careful, work ourselves into a state of deep depression. It's like when we think about the things that we don't have or the gifts that we might have given or received, and it gets hard. I'm going to suggest that instead of dwelling on the negative things that may be going on in our lives at this time of year, we concentrate on the positive things and actually start to share those things with others. You know, it is impossible to help someone else without making yourself a better person in the process. There is a story told. I first heard it from a man by the name of Zig Ziglar, and I think it fits our situation quite well here. It seems there was a man in Oklahoma by the name of Just Injun Joe. That's all anyone ever called him, Injun Joe. He owned several hundred acres of land, which was arid and basically useless. Nothing would grow on it. He managed to tinker with people's cars and things like that, handiwork, just to make ends meet. But he was poor. Well, one day, wouldn't you know it, one of the big oil companies discovered huge reserves of oil on Injun Joe's property. All of a sudden, overnight, Injun Joe was a multimillionaire. Everyone said to him, Injun Joe, you should have one of those great big white Cadillac convertibles. So he went out and got one, and it was beautiful. Every day, Injun Joe would get into that great big white Cadillac convertible and drive it to town. Now, Injun Joe never had an accident. Injun Joe never got a speeding ticket. Actually, Injun Joe never went over 5 miles an hour. You see, each morning, Injun Joe would take his two horses and hook them up to the front of his Cadillac. And those two horses would pull that car to town. Here, Injun Joe had all the horsepower in the world and never used it. You see, he never learned how to start his engine. All the potential in the world was under that hood, and it just went unused. How many of us are like that? We have all the potential in the world within us, and yet we never use it. We never, in effect, learn how to turn on our very own engines. Instead of wondering what gifts you are going to give or receive, Concentrate on the gifts that you already have and how you are going to use them. Believe it or not, and I don't care what your rank is, each and every one of you is a leader. No doubt about it. You are a leader. And when you are in a deployed status, just think about how much good you can do with your downtime to figure out how to optimize the special gifts and talents that you have within you, and also how you are going to help those around you to help them to bring their special gifts and talents to the surface and make the most of them. You can't give them these inner gifts because they are already there. All you can do is to help bring these gifts out of them, to teach them how to start their own engines, so to speak, to use that world of potential that they have within them and perhaps have never touched. Is it painful to develop these gifts and talents? You bet it is. But as our weightlifters will tell us, no pain, no gain. There is a true story about an artist by the name of Van Gogh. And toward the end of his lifetime, he developed crippling arthritis. Yet every day, he would put that paintbrush in his gnarled hands, and in excruciating pain, he would continue to paint. And one day, someone asked him, "Why? Why do you do it?" And his answer was, "The pain passes, but the beauty lives on forever." And today the beauty of his work hangs in countries and places of honor all over our world. And you know, it's the same with us. The pain we will experience in life will pass, but if we live our lives as we ought to, then the pain will pass, and the beauty of our work will live on forever. We can all make a difference in this world. All we have to do is use our God-given gifts and talents as they are intended to be used. Too many people spend too much time thinking about what they don't have rather than what they do have. Is your deployment, your time away from home and family and friends, going to make a difference in this world of ours? You bet it is. But how big a difference it will make is up to you. There are opportunities all around us. All we have to do is take advantage of them. Look around. See what's there. I remember in an older movie called Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock, she was an undercover law enforcement contestant in a beauty contest. Now, in these beauty contests, there is always a time when the contestants are asked questions. And Sandra was rather outspoken and opinionated, and she was determined not to fall into the typical answers that were always given by other contestants. One of the typical questions was, if you could give the world any gift at all, what would you give it? And usually the beauty contestants would answer, they would give the world world peace. Well, Sandra said, that's ridiculous. In the history of the world, there has never been world peace. Well, it was her turn to answer a question. And I'm not sure I remember exactly what the question was, but it was a rather controversial one, to which Sandra gave a really controversial answer. And the crowd started to murmur and mumble. And immediately Sandra picked up on it and followed her answer with, and I would also like to give the world, world peace. I think we would all like to give the world, world peace. And actually, isn't that exactly what we are trying to do right now? We can't do it by ourselves, but we can each do just a little bit. And when it all comes together, who knows? Perhaps there will be, for the first time ever, world peace. This time of year, we hear so many expressions like, peace to men of goodwill. We hear them. But being deployed, we feel so far away and distant from their meanings. Perhaps we need to get back in touch with the more simple things in life, the little things that really do make a difference. A friend of mine sent the following story to me over the internet, and I think it lets us feel in our hearts the miracle that we can have and experience this time of year, no matter where we are. And the story goes like this. A little girl went to her bedroom and pulled a glass jelly jar from its hiding place in the closet. She poured the change out on the floor and counted it carefully. Three times even, the total had to be exact. Perfect. No chance here for any mistakes. And carefully placing the coins back in the jar and twisting on the cap, she slipped out the back door and made her way 6 blocks to the drugstore. She waited patiently for the pharmacist to give her some attention, but he was too busy at the moment talking to some man standing there. Well, Tess twisted her feet to make a scuffing sound, scuffing noise, nothing. She cleared her throat with the most disgusting sound she could muster. No good. Finally, she took a quarter from her jar and she banged it on the glass counter. That did it. And what do you want? The pharmacist asked in an annoyed tone of voice. I'm talking to my brother, can't you see that? He's from Chicago, and I haven't seen him in ages. He said all this without waiting for reply to his question to her. Well, I want to talk to you about my brother, Tess answered back in the same annoyed tone. He's really, really sick. And I want to buy a miracle. I beg your pardon, said the pharmacist. His name is Andrew, and he has something bad growing inside his head. And my daddy says only a miracle can save him now. So how much does a miracle cost? We don't sell miracles here, little girl. I'm sorry, but I can't help you. The pharmacist said this to her, though, in a a softer little voice. Listen, I have the money to pay for it, she said. If it isn't enough, I will get the rest. Just tell me how much a miracle costs. The pharmacist's brother was a well-dressed man. He stooped down and asked the little girl, "What kind of miracle does your brother need?" "I don't know," Tess replied with her eyes welling up with tears. "I just know he's really sick. And Mommy says if he needs an operation and doesn't get it, he will die. But my daddy can't pay for it. So I want to use my money." "How much do you have?" asked the man from Chicago. $1.11, she said. But she answered in a very low voice. "It's all the money I have," she said. "But I can get some more if I need to." "Well, what a coincidence." The man smiled. $1.11. That is the exact price of a miracle for a little brother at this time of year. And he took her money in one hand, and with the other hand he grasped her mitten, and he said, "Take me to where you live. I want to see your brother and meet your parents. Let's see if I have the miracle that your little brother needs." That well-dressed man was Dr. Carlton Armstrong, a surgeon specializing in neurosurgery. The operation was completed free of charge. And it wasn't long until Andrew was home again and doing well. Mom and Dad were happily talking about the chain of events that had led them to this place in their lives. "That surgery," her mom whispered, "was a real miracle. I wonder how much it would have cost." Tess kind of smiled. She knew exactly how much a miracle costs. $1.11. And the faith of a little child. In our lives, we never know how many miracles we will need, but we will need them. A miracle is not the suspension of natural law, but the operation of a higher power. I guess we all need miracles in our lives, and who knows how many we will need. But I can tell you this, it all starts with one miracle at a time. This time of year, it is difficult for us, all by ourselves. We can't bring about world peace. It would take a miracle. But we can be a miracle to each other. And how much does a miracle cost? It doesn't cost a dime when we give from the heart to another. Let me close with my usual saying or prayer. Let us tonight look back across the span between dawn and darkness, and to our conscience say, because of a kind word or deed, the world and the church are better that we lived this day. God bless all of you, and God bless America.